Well, good morning, church. Welcome back this morning, Pastor Ebenezer George. He's going to minister the Word of God. He oversees over 300 churches in the Full Gospel Church in India. You and I have made it our mission as a church to emphasize and support those who are indigenous in their ministry. That is to say, they ministry to their own countrymen and their own language, that are among unreached people groups that plant churches or minister to children. Well, Pastor George is one of them. He comes from a long spiritual legacy in his family of ministering the gospel. I count him a true friend of mine, and I've ministered to thousands of people with him. And he's an unusual character. I think you're going to join this morning. So why don't you give him a warm CBC welcome as he comes to minister the Word of God this morning. Pastor Ebenezer George.
Thank you very much, church, for your warm welcome. And it's really a joy for me to stand here to minister the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come here. And I miss Pastor Gary Hubens today, but I believe he's in the work of the Lord and he's ministering. And today he's allowed me to come and share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for which I'm really grateful. I'm really having a very good time over here. And I thank the Lord for his blessings. Pastor Jimmy Bennett, the missions pastor, and the team, they have made our stay very comfortable, and I thank the Lord for that. Thank you, church, for being a great part in our television ministry. The television program reaches several millions in India. It's because of your giving and because of your help we are able to do what we are doing through the television medium back home in India. The Lord is really good, and through this TV program, thousands are being reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ each week. India is a land of 1.2 billion people. About 350 million people have not heard the gospel even once in their life. And they are the ones who live among the unreached people group. It's very difficult to go and reach them with the gospel, but through this television medium, we are able to send the programs to these many places that can receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are a great part in that endeavor, and I thank the Lord for that. And your church is a sending church. Pastor Gary Hubens is a missions man, and he's a person who sends. And thank you for sending our dear brother Jeremy and his wife and his children to come and be a part of India missions for a while. They have been a great blessing to us. They gave up everything here and they came to India and they served for a while in India among our children. And the Lord really brought a great impact in our life when people from the Western world could leave everything and come and commit themselves to this land in India. That really poured in us the love of Christ. And I thank for sending our dear brother and sister and their two little children to come and be with us for a while. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, we read, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So God is not unjust. He is not going to forget what you have done. All that you have done is written down in God's record book, and he is going to reward. And when he rewards, it's going to be a permanent eternal reward that we are going to cherish. I know your children. I know Pastor, when he comes to India, he pours himself out in our country. The Lord has used him mightily. And through his ministry, many new churches have been established. You have sown your money. You have sown your efforts. You have sown your talents. Your giftings have been sown into the kingdom of God. Therefore, now is the time of harvest. And you are going to reap great blessings. And those blessings, when it returns, is going to come upon the church on entirety as a 30-fold blessing, as a 60-fold blessing, as a 100-fold blessing. And the Lord from heaven is going to open the doors of heaven and he's going to bless each and every one of you because your representation has come to India, your pastor has come to India, your team has come to India, and they have done so much work, and our God is not unjust. He is going to do great and mighty things in your life and receive a great blessing from the Lord in Jesus' name. You are going to be blessed. Someone said, when we release our money, we are releasing a seed into the kingdom of God. Someone said, see money in this manner. When you see money as money, that's where the competition comes, whether we are going to serve God or money. Someone said, you got to see money in this manner. Money is just a paper. Paper comes from trees. Trees come from seed. And seed comes from God. And when you see money, money is to be seen as a seed. It's in your hands to use it as a seed or just to eat it up. So however you're going to decide it, it's a seed that God has given in your hands. And when you sow it in the right soil, God is going to return a hundredfold, a thousandfold blessings into your life. That's how we got to say it. And you're going to be blessed so that the kingdom will grow and great things will happen through you. Last night we had the opportunity to dine with Brother Kenton David and Sister Linda David in their wonderful home. And I want to thank them also for the wonderful hospitality, the love that I received in that family. It's a great blessing and it's a great honor. While I was in their home, that's when I was just thinking, what am I going to be speaking? Because I had prepared and prepared and re-prepared and also put thoughts in a different manner. Because originally I was asked to speak from the book of John chapter 6. Then when I did my preparation, I got a message that I got to do John chapter 7. And then yesterday, Pastor Gary Hubens calls me and he says, it doesn't matter what you're going to speak, you can just do anything spontaneous. It doesn't have to be even from the book of John. So I got a message from 6th chapter, a message from 7th chapter, and now a message from the author John, because he's the one who wrote Revelation, so I can speak in Revelation also today. But yesterday when I was having fellowship in Brother Kenton's house, he put a word that all things that God does, he has done it for his good. And he said that he went through a situation in his life, but God has healed him. And he reminded me a scripture where it says, I have known you even before you were framed in your mother's womb. That was a powerful statement that touched me. So when I got that statement, I started to think, what does it say now? What does it say to us today? What is the message that we can get from that statement when God says, I've known you even before you were framed in your mother's womb. Even before you were born into this world, I have known you. What does it say? What does it speak to us? My mind started to ponder on that word. My uncle was with me and we had a real good time. But my mind was really thinking of what the Lord was going to say to us. This is what the Lord says. The Lord doesn't consult our past to determine our future. Because our future is already determined even before we created our past. Therefore, we don't have to be worried about our past failures in life, but just commit ourselves to God that He will take care of us and our future is already destined by God. And we are more than conquerors and He has called us to be successful people. And for example, take the life of Peter. Jesus Christ looked at Peter and He said, you're going to deny me. You're going to betray me. 3 times. Peter said, no, Lord, I will never do that. And Jesus said, I am going to pray for you. You've got to understand, Jesus did not pray that Peter will not betray him. Jesus allowed Peter to betray him. But Jesus prayed that he will be restored even after that betrayal. Sometimes God allows to go through our failures in life just for us to understand that we cannot be successful without God. And when we go through our failures in life and come to a realization that God is with us and He is ever interceding for us, we will come out of that failure as a victor, not as a victim. We will stand as a successful man and a woman. We will praise Him no matter what we have gone through in life, because He who is in us is not there to condemn us, but He is a God who is there to redeem us and to help us when we commit ourselves to Him. Praise be to the Lord. Can we give a clap offering to our Lord Jesus Christ? Yesterday I had the privilege to meet even Brother Jeremy's mother, and I thank the Lord for all these good things that's happening in this congregation. The Lord is really good. And I thank the Lord. Aren't you happy that God doesn't consult our future, our past, to decide our future? Because He has seen our future even before we created our past. And that's why we are able to stand today. We are able to be here today and praise Him and worship Him. And also we got to know that our God doesn't remember our past. When Peter was restored, the only thing Jesus said is, "Now go to Galilee, I'm going to come there and meet you there." The next time He says, "You go to Jerusalem and wait over there until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Jesus is not reminding Him anything about His betrayal. Jesus totally forgot. That's the goodness of our Lord. When He restores us, He forgives us and He forgets all that we have done. And He reconciles us with His Heavenly Father that we can be co-heirs in the kingdom of God. Therefore, all that we need in our life today is to be wrapped up in that Word of God. John is beginning the scripture. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh." That means he's saying this Word is to come and wrap us, that we must be thoroughly inside the Word of God, that we walk in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, and it's not by might nor by power. We got to do the work and be successful people in this world. We got to meditate in this Word day in and day out. We got to understand these things. And when you get a hold of the Word of God, we'll keep saying it. Don't stop talking about the Word of God. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Meditate in it day and night. And you're going to be more than conquerors. You're going to be victorious in Jesus' name. We've got to understand, in the name of Jesus, we have victory. In the name of Jesus, we have healing. In the name of Jesus, we have prosperity. In the name of Jesus, we have deliverance. In the name of Jesus, we have everything that we need. And we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters." And we can be His sheep and we can be more than conquerors. Therefore, when we wrap up ourselves in the Word of God, that John, the writer of John, is saying, one thing can be certain, that you will come as a testimony no matter how great the valley you have traveled in. We don't live in the valley. We learn in the valley that we will come out to live in the mountaintop and be a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life, it's not just healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job that we are praying for. What God wants to give you in your life is not just money that we are craving for. But what God wants to give us is His Word in our spirit. So it will make us everything that we got to be. It will make you what it talks about. Then you will shine by the power of the Holy Spirit. And nothing can stop you from being what God wants you to be in this world. For He says, "I have a plan for you." In Jeremiah 29:11, He says, "For I have a plan for you." And for that plan to be fulfilled, we got to commit ourselves to this Word that He has already given to us. And when that Word of God comes and grips our heart, then healing is ours. Prosperity is ours. Deliverance is ours. Anointing is ours. And as God's people, we will never be victims. We will be victors. And we'll lift our heads and walk boldly. And we'll be more than conquerors. And when you go out, you will be a blessing. When you come in, you'll be a blessing. When you talk, blessings will go out of your mouth. When you lay your hands, you will be a blessing. God will bless you because you are the representation of God in this world. And wherever you go, blessings will follow you. Goodness and mercy will follow you. And you become the representation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He will use you mightily because the Word of God is in you. Praise be to the Lord. The Lord is really good. And I thank the Lord for everything that's happening here. Pastor Gary Hubens gave me the liberty to speak from Genesis to Revelation. So that's why I'm just speaking here today. There is a statement In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, it comes not from the Father, but from the world." Today being Father's Day, I want to appreciate every father here in this place. And we got to know we have a Heavenly Father. And these things that we have just read, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of our heart, it doesn't come from our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father has a great thought for each of us, and His thoughts, its ways, are that we become like His Son, Jesus Christ, that we will put on, adorn the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness of Him, that we may be a people who will win the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I'm just going to talk for a few minutes from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. That was not my assignment though. Just for a few minutes, since this is a Father's Day, I just thought I've got to talk about our Father in heaven. So what does John chapter 5 has to do with the Heavenly Father? Many of us, we know the Trinity. We know the Godhead. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal. And when we think of God the Father, this is what the concept many of us have. When we see the Son, when we see the Father, and when we see the human being, we see ourselves as a fallen being, right? We see ourselves as sinful people. And we see in our imagination that the Father is against us. He's trying to attack us because we sinned against Him. We see the Father as someone who is going to take revenge upon the sinful people. That is our imagination. And then we see this Jesus Christ comes from heaven. He dies on the cross of Calvary. And He is the one who is covering us from the Father's wrath. That's what we are thinking. We see Jesus as the Savior. He's stopping God the Father from beating us. And we even go to the extent saying, He took the beating that should come upon me from the Father. Jesus took it upon Himself. From one perspective, what we say is right, but from the other perspective, what does the Bible say? So that's what we are going to see for a few minutes, for a few moments, about our Heavenly Father. Is our Heavenly Father trying to come and attack us, and Jesus Christ stopping Him from attacking us? That's what we are going to study for a few moments, and we are going to close. Turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 22. In our imagination, we are seeing the Father is judging every mankind, and Jesus is stopping the Father from the judgment. But what does the Bible say about the Father in heaven? John chapter 5, verse 22. It says, "The Father judges no one." Did you get the scripture? Did you get the scripture? Say yes. What does it say? What does it say? The Father judges no one, but all judgment is bestowed in the hands of the Son. So who is the judge? Is the Father the judge? Is the Father coming after you and me to bring His wrath upon us? No, the Father is kind. The Father is loving. That's why in John 3:16, what do we read? "For God the Father so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." We got to understand, the Father is not cruel. The Father is not judging us. The Father is not coming to beat us. The Father is loving. We have a loving Father. This Father's Day, we are here praising our Heavenly Father, for He is our loving Father. That's why Jesus, when He taught us to pray, he said, pray in this manner. Our Father, thou art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Why should his kingdom come? Because he's a loving Father. And when his kingdom comes, his kingdom will be a loving kingdom. Amen. Praise be to the Lord. The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment in the hands of the Son, Jesus Christ. So who should we be afraid of now? The Father or the Son? Many of us are running away from Father and holding on to the Son, thinking he is better off because we have not thought of him as a judge. But the scripture says he's the judge. So we got to fear him. And we got to run to the Father. But we cannot go to the Father without Jesus Christ. That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Except through the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot get to the Father. Everyone wants to go to the Father now because we know from John 5:22 that he is not the judge. He is loving. He is ever kind. Therefore, we want to go to the Father, but we cannot go to the Father without Jesus Christ. That's why we got to go into the world and preach the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everyone will accept Jesus, and he who accepts Jesus has access to the Father. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. The Father is kind. The Father is good. Say praise the Lord for that. The Father is not judging us. Praise God. But who is the judge? The judge is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the law of God? In Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse 6 we read that the judge cannot proclaim judgment without witnesses. In Deuteronomy 17:6, we read, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a person is to be put to death. Then it says, but no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Look at that. This is the decree of the Lord. So Jesus Christ is the judge. Now we got that straight. The Father is not judging, but has given the authority to Jesus to judge. But for Jesus to judge, he has to have two or three witnesses. Especially if he has to bring a judgment of death sentence. He needs at least two or three with the statement of one. God in his wisdom, he did everything that we are reading today. Our God is an all-wise God, all-powerful God. Thank him for that. In Deuteronomy chapter 19 verse 15, we read, one witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of any crime or offense. A matter of two or three witnesses is needed to pronounce judgment. So now let me ask you this question. Where did sin occur first? In heaven or on earth? You don't want to answer. In heaven, Lucifer was in the presence of God even before the creation of mankind. Lucifer was in heaven. He was an archangel. And he was the one, I go to shorten my sermon now. He was the one in heaven who sinned against God. Before earth was polluted, heaven was polluted. That's why we got to understand when Jesus comes and he dies on the cross of Calvary, he first dies for his Father's throne to be cleansed because sin took place there first. And then it is earth. So he cleanses heaven. That's why he looks at Mary and he says, please wait, don't touch me now. I've got to go to the Father. My first work is in my Father's room. I have to go and cleanse that place and then I'm going to come back to you also. We are subject to heaven all the time. But without two or three witnesses, Jesus is not able to pronounce a judgment. But now we see Lucifer sinned against God. That was in heaven. And when this Lucifer sinned, who should pronounce the judgment? Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit? Jesus should pronounce the judgment. And now Jesus is getting ready to pronounce this judgment because this Lucifer is saying, I am going to build my kingdom above the kingdom of the Father. I am going to rise above the throne of God. When that comes out, Jesus cannot stand that because he cannot stand any pride in his kingdom. And he comes there and he's bringing Lucifer in the presence of God. Now Jesus needs two witnesses. Without two or three witnesses, he cannot bring judgment to this Lucifer. Therefore, he calls for two or three witnesses. The Father is on one side as a witness. The Holy Spirit is on the other side as a witness. And the multitude of angels are the third witnesses. Everyone says, yes, this is what he perceived in his heart. This is what he says. And Jesus Christ stands there. And he would have said, this is based on the two or three witnesses and more witnesses that I have. I pronounce eternal damnation to Lucifer and cast him out of heaven. It was the work of Jesus Christ to cast Lucifer out of heaven to fall. And he, like a lightning, fell from heaven to earth. And he polluted the earth. He polluted everything. The earth became void. And the darkness covered the face of the earth. And then comes the creation story, the recreation story, that the Lord came and recreated, and God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. And when he put them in the garden, they were doing good job. Everything was going fine. Now you've got to understand, the war is between God and Satan, not between Satan and man. Man has nothing to do in this war. The war is Satan is against God. And God is against Satan. And we are caught in between. You realize why? Why is Satan trying to attack man all the time? Because we are created in the image of God. And whenever Satan sees us, he sees God himself in us. And he gets angry. He gets frustrated. And to slap God, he cannot do that, so he slaps man. He cannot touch God, so he touches man. We've got to understand, once we understand that revelation, we are going to stand against him. And when we stand against him in the name of Jesus, he's going to flee from us. He will come in one direction, but he will flee in seven directions. Why? Because we realize our position in Christ Jesus, and we stand in his name. And when we pray in his name, when we cast out evil spirits in our name, in his name, he's going to run away from you. We have victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because we are in Christ Jesus. But what happened in that garden? In the garden, Adam and Eve, they sinned. You all know the story. Satan comes there and he deceives Adam and Eve, and they sinned and they started to hide. Now they are hiding. When they are hiding, God comes in their presence just as usual. He comes there, and he's looking for Adam, he's looking for Eve, but he's not able to find them in the normal place, in the regular place where they met. When God comes, he's calling, Adam, Adam, where are you? Come. Who is this? Is this the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit in that garden now, calling Adam? We've got to understand, it was Jesus who has come there, because we see the story that Jesus is making a judgment there. Now listen to this very carefully. Adam and Eve are coming, and they're covering themselves with leaves. And you know the story that God covered them with a skin, and then he's pronouncing a judgment. Now he has to pronounce a death statement to them. Satan is on the other side, happy. He is saying, I am so glad today Adam and Eve are going to join me, and they are going to be in my kingdom forever. The purpose for which I sowed into Eve's life is fulfilled, and God's purpose is defeated. So Satan is very happy. That's why the law of God, God said with one sentence, with one testimony, a death sentence cannot be declared. See, God in his wisdom. Here, Satan is a one testimony. And God says, I cannot take your testimony because you're already a fallen being. I cannot take your testimony into consideration. Now, Jesus wants two witnesses to condemn Adam and Eve. This is where we see the love of the Father in a great manner. So Jesus needs one testimony. He's depending on the Father. The Holy Spirit already convicted Adam and Eve. That's why they're going and hiding. So the one Spirit, the Spirit of God has already convicted them. So that means Jesus has already one pure testimony. Now he needs a second and a third testimony to condemn Adam and Eve to eternal damnation. That's where he is looking at the Father. Father, I need one more witness. And the angels are on the other side. Angels are not bold enough to stand up and give a witness, because the Father has to give a witness. Only after that they will preside over the other witnesses. Now the Father is there in heaven, and Jesus is looking at the Father for another witness to condemn Adam and Eve. And when he is expecting a witness from the Father is closing his eyes and he's turning away and he's saying, I do not know, I have not seen anything. My eyes are pure. I have not seen sin. And Jesus here is crying the same cry in the crucifix. He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? When you are supposed to stand as a witness for me, you are forsaking me in the presence of this Satan. He is laughing at me now. Why? Because God's love towards man is so great that he should not stand there as a witness for Jesus to condemn man. Therefore, for God so loved the world, this Jesus says, there is no other way. I myself have to come down to this world, and I myself have to die on the cross of Calvary to save this mankind whom my Father loves so greatly. Therefore, I come. That's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus came to this world. Praise be to his holy name. The Lord, the Father, loves mankind so much. He did not stand as a witness. When he didn't stand as a witness, the heaven closed their eyes and said, we are not going to be a witness also. Satan didn't know what to do now. Satan thought that his plan was fulfilled till that time. But when Father turned around his face and said, I'm not going to stand against Adam and Eve, that's where the story changes. That's where the love of God is shown, revealed to mankind. That's where Jesus said, now you got to go out. You go out of this garden, for you have to be protected. And Jesus sent them out. And then after 4,000 years, you know the story, that Jesus comes from heaven. That's what John is saying. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he came in the form of mankind. Why? Because the Father loved us. Today the love of the Father is so much. He's calling us to go to the world and preach this gospel. Jesus, who's supposed to have condemned us, Jesus, who's supposed to have judged us the day before he went to the crucifix, the night when he was betrayed, he called his disciples. That's where he's instituting the communion. He said, this is my broken body that's been broken for you. Because the Father loves you, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. I love you too. And I want to demonstrate this love of my Father to you by accepting this cross. So Jesus, who's the great judge, is loving also. Therefore, God is love. God is love, and today, they that accept Jesus Christ as eternal life. Today, if we have a mission in India, it is to carry this love of Jesus Christ to the perishing soul. To tell Jesus, tell the people, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and defeat the purpose of Satan. He has no hold on us. He planned so cunningly to take us into his kingdom. But God in his wisdom gave his only begotten Son that we may be redeemed into his kingdom back. No matter what we have done, God does not look at our past to qualify our future. For he has already decided our future, that we should be with him. Where I am, you shall be also. That's what the promise he gave in John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go there to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back. When I come back, I'm going to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you shall be also. That's when John is asking, Thomas is asking, Lord, we do not know the way. We do not know where you're going. Then Jesus is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me, because I am the one who's the judge. And you have to go through me. And when I pronounce that you're clean, when I pronounce you're saved, you're justified, you're sanctified, no Satan from hell can come and turn that verdict against you. And therefore, you come through me, and I will take you to heaven. And where I am, you shall be also. Shall we all stand together, church? This is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message, this is the good news of our Lord. And we are the ones to carry this good news to the dying souls, to the dying people. Without this Jesus, the world dies. And today it's a choice in your hand, whether you're going to share the love of Jesus to save people from hell. All that they have to do is confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and they are saved. Let's bow down and let's commit ourselves and thank our Heavenly Father. If he had stood as a witness, he would have been condemned the day Adam and Eve sinned. But he turned his back against his only begotten Son. Why? Because he loved us. He loved us. So he did not spare his only Son. What a beautiful God. What a wonderful Savior we serve. He did not spare his only begotten Son. And just Jesus, he commits himself saying, I will go for the ones whom you love. Whom you love, I love also. And this Jesus came lovingly, not as a judge. That's why he says, don't judge one another, judge yourself. And come unto me, I will give you rest. Let's bow down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending your only begotten Son, that today we may have eternal life and have it abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from the pits of hell. Our destination would have been with Satan if you had stood as a witness against us on the judgment day in the Garden of Eden. But thank you, Lord, for not sparing your only begotten Son, but by sending him to save us. What can we render unto you for this great salvation? But we come to you faithfully and say, Lord, have your will. Have your way, Lord. That we'll be willing to give ourselves. We'll be willing to sow ourselves into this kingdom to save the lost. Because salvation is so precious. Let your name be glorified in this church. Pray for the senior pastor. Pray for the vision of this leadership. Bless every member. Let them grow. Let them increase. I pray for a thousandfold blessing upon their life, that they may take and give for the extension of the kingdom of God, that you will return to them in a multifold manner of blessing that they cannot contain. Thank you for your promises. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Pastor, will you just stay here? Can we show our appreciation to Pastor Ebby this morning for being with us? Before we leave this morning, I think it would be appropriate for us as a church to pray over Pastor. Thomas, would you join us up here, please? Would Tom and Mary, could you come up here maybe, and Jimmy and Lauren, join me? Isaac and Madison Cothran, how about you, the two of you come up here? When I dismiss, if you'd like to sow in financially to Pastor Ebby's ministry, we'll have some men at the door. You can make your check out to Community Bible Church. Just put India in the four. If you'd like to just give to the Passion Fund to help all the ministries locally and around the world, you can do that at the door as well. Let's pray over these gentlemen today in their ministry. Father God, we thank you for these men. We thank you for their word that you delivered through them. We pray for India. We pray for those who have not heard the name Jesus Christ. We pray that they will hear that, and they will hear that soon. That they will hear that before you return. We pray that those that need to be healed and those that need to be delivered will continue to have people like the Hughes come and deliver your message. We pray over the ministry of the children and the television, that you will continue to provide, you'll continue to lift your love towards those in need. We continue to pray for continued strength for Pastor and his family, the courage to be bold in the face of persecution. And we know that great miracles still abound in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.